life is about not getting 100% win rate percentage. It's about winning more than you lose. Trust me, we're human. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And the faster we recognize that mistakes don't define us as a person, that it's an opportunity to learn and grow. The worst thing we can do is to start to be defined by the mistakes that we made and then go down that spiral, because that spiral leads to anxiety, depression, isolation, and more often than not, suicide. And that's the worst thing to do. And so to recognize that early in the process and go, okay, no, that's not who I am. That's a mistake that I made. And then make that shift and try to become better and better every single day. The goal in life is purely just to do better than you did yesterday.
Two times Guinness World Record holder, in 2015, he ran 50 Ironman races in 50 days. In 2021, he ran 100 Ironman triathlons in 100 days. He's a father of five. He's a follower of Jesus. You may know him as the Iron Cowboy. We are so delighted to welcome James Lawrence onto the podcast this week. I pray this blesses you, friend. I believe God put a specific light in your heart for a purpose, for you to shine it into this world in a way that nobody else can, a light that is unique as the print on your finger. And our job is to take that light and go love people with it in this world. Everywhere you go, you have a ministry. You don't just have to be a preacher to have a ministry. Your light is your ministry. It's how you shine it at your job, at your family, at the dinner table with your friends, at the movies, at the park, at your apartment. Everywhere you go, you are made to shine your light. Do it. Be it. Love people. Be kind. Honor them. Honor yourself. This is Made to Shine. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Made to Shine. As you just heard in that introduction, we're in for such a treat today. We have the phenomenal, impressive James Lawrence on with us today. And I DM'd you about this a while ago, but your Iron Cowboy documentary literally inspired my entire cross country team when I was running track and cross country in college. And so when I was digging into your recent research and a little bit more, I was like, man, this guy has such an awesome faith. And at Made to Shine, everybody knows we are here to remind people that they have a ministry, no matter where they are, what they're doing. Their ministry is the way they live their life. And James, just what I've seen from afar with how you lead with your faith and your marriage and with your kids, you're a father of five, right? Is what I read? Yeah. Father of five, like your races and I mean, just everything. I'm just so excited for today's conversation and to talk about the way you shine your light in all those areas. So thank you for being on, James.
100% Annie. Thanks for having me, and happy new year to anybody who may be listening.
Happy New Year, folks. Yes, we are recording this January 3rd. So this is a fresh welcome to 2024 episode. But James, I didn't tell you this prior, but we start off this podcast every single way, every single time, which is, what is your favorite quote and why?
My favorite quote? Yeah. Right now, it's, if you're tired of starting over, stop giving up.
Ooh, I like that. Why is that your favorite quote?
Just because I think we, as a society, we are way too hard on ourselves. And I think it's easier to gain momentum if we just continue doing it. And starting is one of the hardest things we can do. And so if we stop quitting, then we never have to start over. And we just get to continually gain momentum and build on what we're doing. Because I've just recognized that we get in our own way when we're trying to start something, because we create a scenario or a difficulty in our own heads. Hey, I'm assuming most people just set New Year's resolutions. So just don't quit on them, and then you don't have to start over. You just get to gain momentum and keep going.
I love that, especially because I do feel like we live in a a world that's kind of bought the ticket that if you don't get results in 3 seconds, it means you're doing the wrong thing. And I know what I've, when I was kind of reading about you, et cetera, this entire crazy, like you do all these races and we're going to get into all that, but it sounds like it started from a 4 mile fun run that you were doing and it wasn't too great. And I guess I'm curious, like per that, not quitting, how do you know what's worth not quitting? Because sometimes quitting the wrong things is the right move in order to say yes to the right things. And so like taking you back to when you were going through that 4 mile fun run experience and you were kind of like, all right, I don't want to be in this situation anymore. I'm going to keep going until XYZ. How did you know that was the right thing to pursue at the time? And kind of take us back to where you were in that moment.
Yeah, I think we've forgotten how to listen to our intuition. And we don't act upon that. And so I think if we get better and better at listening to our intuition and being okay with doors closing and doors opening, then it's truly not quitting. It's just pivoting on what we're doing. And I firmly believe that we're never just standing still. We're either moving forward or we're moving backwards. And if what we're doing just creates so much fear and anxiety in us and we're finding zero joy, it's probably a sign that that's not what we should be doing. And we need to not completely change, but maybe just tweak or adjust our approach or maybe the expectations on what we want out of what we're doing. So quitting to me is like when you've set down a path and you're just quitting because it's uncomfortable. And it's maybe something that scares you. And that's not a good reason to quit. Mm-hmm. That's an opportunity to learn and grow and to kind of plow through that. Because in life, we're going to have those peaks and valleys and moments where it maybe doesn't seem right or it's difficult. But those are opportunities for us to plow through to get that momentum to get back up that mountain. And so I never want to encourage people to quit when things get hard, because that's most times when you're on the precipice of something great happening and change happening within us.
Yeah. I love that. I was reading an article that your wife says you love the phrase like intentionally uncomfortable or something along those lines. And I think about as an athlete, there's a difference between the pain of working out when you're getting stronger and the pain of working out when you're injured and you just want to get a workout in to get a workout in, but you're making your injury worse. And I feel like what you're saying in regards to like when you're kind of going down that right path, not quitting is you're accepting the uncomfortable pain that's making you better versus a situation where pain is involved, but it's only making you worse. It's not for your good.
Yeah. And in fact, our coaching philosophy with our athletes is how high can we soar? And if you think of an eagle flying and how he's soaring above, seeking out his prey, that stands for stress, optimize, adapt, and recover. And stress is a super important piece of reaching our potential. And we can experience stress in a lot of different ways. So in terms of training, it's just a physical stress. But in terms of like life, that stress could be anxiety or obstacles that come in our way. And that's not an opportunity to quit. That's an opportunity to change and learn and grow so that when that same type of or level of adversity or obstacles present themselves, we now have experience to get through those.
Yeah.
And so I think stress is a fantastic tool that we can use in order to grow and become better versions of who we are.
Yeah. You said the word intuition not too long ago. And I'm curious, like as a person of faith, one, I'd love to hear your story. Like, have you always been a person of faith? How did you kind of start believing in God? And what your relationship with believing in God and intuition, like what intuition means to you?
Yeah, I grew up a Christian-based faith, and my grandmother actually immigrated from Poland and was sought out by some missionaries. And then I was kind of born into that belief system. And then once we leave home, we have to develop our own system. And I've just had our belief system, and I've had enough experiences to where I've looked backwards and I only see one set of footprints, and they're not mine. And so I've been through enough to where I've recognized that in my most difficult and hardest times, I was being carried. And so you can't deny those times and those experiences. And in terms of intuition, like I believe a higher being is sending us direct messages all the time that we're downloading. And unfortunately, a lot of people ignore those and they don't act upon the intuition or that gut instinct. And my advice to anybody is as soon as you get inspiration or a feeling, like act upon it. There's a reason that either that thought or that instinct has happened. Most times we don't know why, but there's a purpose and a reason behind all of it. And I've just learned through enough experience that when I get that, and especially if I keep getting it over and over, I'm like, okay, I got to pay attention to this instead of dismissing it. And it's served my higher good every single time.
That's so good. I'm curious for you. I'm guilty of sometimes overthinking, as I think a lot of us are. And when you get that, because I know what you're talking about, I call it the I know that I know that I know feeling. And I've only had it a few times in my life, but it's things where it's like, I know that I know that I know that God is nudging me here or nudging me not to go there. How do you determine the distinction between like that gut feeling and maybe just other feelings or other thoughts that in your human experience in these fleshly bodies, like we're going to have as we're walking this human existence? You know what I mean? Like what's the differentiator in that? I know this is from my spirit.
Yeah. I think all of it is. And it's just going to be more frequent the more, you're trying to stay in the light. And everything comes from God, and the more you act upon it, the more he's going to continue to flood that in. And I don't think any thought or intuition comes from any other source. The pathways just become more apparent or easily accessible the closer we stay in the light instead of the dark. And so it just opens up the communication faster and more frequently. And allows us to be more open to it. And so I think all of those thoughts are from a good place.
Yeah. Being in the light, is that a, I guess a one-time intention, or for you, is that like every day you have to choose to be in the light to, you know what I mean? Like, is it a,
every single day, all day, we get to choose where we put our focus and attention on, what type of media we're consuming. Our thoughts, we get to choose our thoughts. We can chase out the bad ones and bring in more good ones. We can have better conversations. We can listen to good content. We can consume good things. Yeah. And the more we do that, the more it opens us up for those messages to come through. It becomes really distorted, those messages, if we're surrounding ourselves in darkness and negativity and controversy. And that now that starts to get clouded and the messages are still coming, but they're getting blocked. Yeah. Because of the environment that we've put ourselves in, because of the people that we're around. And so it's so important what we consume, how we consume it, when we consume it, because that's going to directly impact the channel of inspiration and motivation that we get from our higher being.
Yeah. I mean, I think about just what you do with the 50 by 50 by 50, like the Conquer 100. I mean, these massive races. And it's not like you just show up with no preparation and run it and do it, right? It's like you have done all this preparation along the way. And when we think about our relationship with God, I think a lot of us expect game time decision, God's going to speak to us. And it's like, no, it's the everyday small interactions with him, conversations with him, that when we need to make these pivotal moves in our life, things become more clear, as you were speaking to. And I'm curious, like when we think about your life and what you're doing, and right now you're doing so much good for so many different avenues. I know like obesity and sex trafficking, and you just have taken kind of this platform you've built and done so much more great, bringing light into the world. What are some of the most, looking back, prominent footprints of God you've seen in maybe uncomfortable times of transition or times you've needed to pivot, you've needed to go a different way, that you can say like, like, yeah, that was a tough moment. And this is kind of how my relationship with God looked in it.
Yeah. I mean, one that jumps out to my mind was, I was newer to the United States. I was newer married. I mean, maybe 5-6 years into my marriage, we had 4 or 5 kids by that time. We had them really fast. And it was when I owned a mortgage company and the economic crisis hit in 08. Mm. And we ended up losing everything and had to sell everything and trying to fight every single day and continual prayer as to what we should do and how we should do it. And then they knock on your door and they take away your home and you're like, okay, man, this is just getting worse. And then you've got these 5 little kids to try to put food on the table for. And it's in those moments where you're just like, okay, I'm trusting in the process. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to do everything that I can. And I'm going to choose where I put my focus and attention. And I'm just going to say, guide me where I need to go today and put me in front of the opportunities that are going to bless my life, and my family's life. And it's in those moments where you look back a decade later and you go, oh man, that was such a gift. Hitting rock bottom and losing everything was a gift. And we can't see it in the moment, but we just have to figure out how to trust the process as it's happening and not look too far into the future, because now we're trying to control things we can't control. Yeah. And I think it's one of the crippling things that are happening in today's society is the comparison online and to what other people are doing and how, you know, everything's just so fake and skewed. We have no idea what to believe anymore. And one, I needed to realize in that moment when we lost everything that if I had made any mistakes along the way, I need to forgive myself for those mistakes in the past. And that every single day I get to wake up and realize that today's a new opportunity to create my future. And then I had to be very conscious of not looking too far into the future and creating the worst case scenario that hasn't even happened yet. And that's called fear and worry and doubt. Mm-hmm. And we fall into this trap of living in the past and beating ourselves up relentlessly for the mistakes or missteps that we made. We're not perfect. Those are opportunities. And then sitting in a space where we're looking too far into the future, and it's destroying us because we're so focused on a mythical worst case scenario that may or may not even happen. Mm-hmm. And the greatest gift is to be where your feet are planted. And if this generation could just be like, right here, right now, in the moment, forgive yourself for your past and recognize every single day you get to wake up and you have a clean sheet of paper in front of you and you can be and do and create whatever you want in that moment, you will have endless amounts of success and there's nothing that will stop you from doing what you want to do.
I love that. What you said about rock bottom, I always say, like, don't fear rock bottom, because at rock bottom, you get real intimate with the rock on which you're actually building your life. And for most of us, that's not God. Like, that's just not, you know, but you don't know that until you hit rock bottom and you know what it is, whether it's your social media or what other people think of you or your bank account or your kids or your spouse. You know, it's like, what are you actually building your life on? And I mean, all that to say, I know, I feel like kids this generation, they hear it all the time. Like, social media is destroying you. Comparison's destroying you. Mm-hmm. What do you think are the, like, if you were to practically look at an 18-year-old and say, you know, they're not where their feet are. They are constantly comparing their lives to other people. It's making them miserable. What's a practical solution to that other than them hearing, like, delete your social media?
Yeah, I think social media is a gift. I think it's a huge, powerful thing. And the algorithms are set up purposeful to feed you what you consume. And so this is a great opportunity to analyze, okay, am I consuming darkness or am I consuming light? Anybody that tells my wife that social media is a negative platform, she goes, I'll give you my phone. Go to my Discover page. You're going to see long-haired cows. You're going to see puppy videos. You're going to see flowers. You're going to see ancient homes that I love to look at. I mean, her social media brings her so much joy. And I could take someone else's phone and see massive political conversations and fights and all these things. And I'm like, okay, I can take anybody's phone right now, go to your Discover page and tell you exactly what type of content you're consuming. And I guarantee you, the way the algorithms are built is you can change what is being delivered to you based on what you're consuming. So if you're having a negative time on social media, it's an opportunity to look at what you're consuming and if it's serving you at all. If you're scrolling mindlessly, then you're in trouble. I think it's important. I think social media is here and it's here to stay. I think there's going to be a lot of regulations and guidelines that are going to come up because it does have some destructive natures to it. But ultimately, it's an opportunity for us to exhibit discipline and choose where we put our time and focus. I use it as a tremendous business tool. I mean, it's made me a lot of money. It's exposed me to great people. In fact, I guarantee you every single person, including you, that's going to be listening to this has heard you are the sum of the five people you hang out with most, right? We've all heard that. Well, someone's going to go, well, dang it, man, I don't live in a place. I'm in a small town. I can't surround myself with five great people. I'm stuck with Farmer Joe and Sally Sue, and I can't, what am I going to do? And guess what? The five people that I surround myself the most with, they don't even know that I surround myself with them because they're on social media. They're leaders in the space that I follow, and those are the people that I'm consuming information from right now. They're the people I'm learning from in order to get to where I want to go. So who you hang out with doesn't literally mean, like, these five people don't know that they're my five people.
Yeah.
Right. But I follow them with the intent to grow into that space that I want to be. And so it's no longer acceptable to hear the reason of like, well, I'm sorry, I'm from a small town and I don't have access to these great people and I don't have the money to move and whatnot. You don't have to do any of that. That's the power of social media. You can surround yourself with five incredible people of who you want to be like, and then just start emulating their actions and what they're doing. And so this doesn't necessarily mean like I have to be friends with these five people. I have to live in the same town as they do. No, my five people that I'm trying to be like so that I can be a better person, they don't even know it, that I'm part of their little clique, you know, and it's just the greatest gift. So utilize social media to your benefit and not something that's just going to cripple you and waste your time and be that time suck in that negativity. Go look at your explore page. You'll instantly know. I can go in 10 seconds. I know who you are based on your Instagram discover page.
Mine are going to be Bible verses and probably Taylor Swift. That's what's happening on my explore page. No, but that's so good. I think that's such a great litmus test. And it's kind of like social media is like a hammer. A hammer can build a house. It can stub a toe. It's literally how you use it, right? And I love what you're saying because it is such a powerful tool. And it's why you're on here today. Like, I reached out to you over social media. Yeah. And what you said about inputs, not just with social media, but the music you listen to, the people you listen to. Some of my greatest mentors have no idea who I am. I have just watched some of them aren't even alive. I've just watched their YouTube videos and sermons so much. And when you were talking about what you consume, I was thinking about, okay, there's one other source that besides our phones and social media is constantly with us and giving input to us, which is our minds. Like, it's the, we can never get away from ourselves, from our brains. And in like watching a lot of your like interviews and stuff, you talk a lot about like winning the internal conversation. And I'm thinking about, okay, there's another method of input here when I feel like we listen to ourselves too much instead of talk to ourselves. And so talk me through, I mean, you've been in environments where like the races you've run, where you have literally had to talk yourself into a place of strength. Talk me through how you do that and why that's important.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a very unique stance on this. And I'll ask you, who's the person in your life that you've had the most conversations with?
Other than God, probably my mom.
No.
Me. Trick you. Question. Me. Dang it, I got it wrong.
It's you.
Yeah.
There's nobody on the planet that we talk to, even God, than we do the conversations we're having with ourselves. And if words matter, you would never talk to yourself, or you would never allow a friend to talk to you the way that you talk to yourself. And so it becomes so critically important to manage and navigate those conversations. And a lot of those conversations, again, stem from the content that we're consuming, the people that we surround ourselves with, the people that we allow in our proximity to have influence on us. All of that matters, especially at this young age. And so really, I call it the bully inside of our heads. And that bully is there to confront you when you're uncomfortable, when something scares you, when to talk you out of something, right? Typically, the conversations that we're having tend to slant on the negative side of things. Early in my career, I was trying to eliminate the voice inside my head. I was trying to completely get them out. But what I've learned over time is that the bullying inside of our head is a gift. And we need to learn how to communicate with them. And if I haven't heard from the bully inside my head in a long period of time, it means I'm not showing up in my life. I'm not pushing boundaries. I'm not trying to become a better version of who I am. Because that bully inside of our head is actually there as somewhat of a protective measure to make sure that we stay comfortable at all times. And to talk us out of difficult situations, to talk us out of running through the fire to a better place. And I've learned that that voice is there as a gift to let us know, or it lets me know that I'm trying, I'm showing up. And the more you do that, and the more you become intentionally uncomfortable, like we just talked about, you get better and better at navigating that conversation. And so now I use that bully as an alarm that's going off that says, I'm showing up and we're not having this conversation because I'm headed in this direction. And thank you for reminding me that I'm here facing difficult things and the opportunity now that I have to learn and grow.
Has there ever been a time for you the bully's won and you haven't done the thing that you felt like you needed to, but the bully said you shouldn't?
The bully only wins if you don't learn and make adjustments. And so there may have been times where I lost the conversation, but I didn't allow it to define me. And I give myself grace in those moments and say, okay, that wasn't my strongest moment, but I've learned from it. And now I'm going to be stronger going forward. And hopefully the next time that conversation comes up, I now have knowledge, experience, and the courage to keep going and do it. And this is like any skill set of like, physical training or learning a new language, it takes time in order to do it. And I study French every single day and I don't get every answer right. But when I get it wrong is actually moments that I'm learning over ones that I just get it right. Because if I got it wrong, I'm like, okay, why did I get that wrong? So in moments where I lose the battle with the voice inside my head, I go, okay, let's pause for 5 seconds. That I don't like that I just lost that conversation. What can I do different going forward so that I can get a win? And life is about not getting 100% win rate percentage. It's about winning more than you lose. And it's about minimizing the amount of losses and starting to gain success and momentum. Because success breeds success and confidence breeds confidence. And so as we start to gain that knowledge, we're going to start to accumulate more wins. Trust me. We're human. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And the faster we recognize that mistakes don't define us as a person, that it's an opportunity to learn and grow. The worst thing we can do is to start to be defined by the mistakes that we made and then go down that spiral, because that spiral leads to anxiety, depression, isolation, and more often than not, suicide. And that's the worst thing to do. And so to recognize that early in the process and go, okay, no, that's not who I am. That's a mistake that I made. And then make that shift and try to become better and better every single day. The goal in life is purely just to do better than you did yesterday.
And that's so freeing, right? I mean, I told you I ran in college. I also played tennis. And I think about with tennis, when I wanted to hit the ball perfectly, I couldn't hit the ball because I was so tight. And when you think about just telling yourself like better than yesterday, that lets you loosen up a little bit and kind of enjoy the ride a little bit more. And I'm curious, you have, I feel like, a very healthy definition of success. And a lot of people just started New Year's resolutions. A lot of people have goals they want to be successful in. How has your faith allowed you to consistently assume this posture and this definition of success through all of the like really lofty goals you've had?
Yeah. As soon as you let go of control, and where you're ultimately trying to get to is when you become free. And when you trust that the path is already laid out for you, you just have to go discover it. That's freeing. And so I no longer worry about tomorrow or the next day or a year from now. I plan for it, but I let go of the handcuffs of I need to control every aspect of this.
Yeah.
I know that where I'm supposed to be is where I'm supposed to be. And there's many different paths on how I can learn those lessons. And I'm going to choose the path that is provides more enjoyment and fun for me. And I just trust in the process. And as soon as you let go and trust in the process, and if you take care of today, tomorrow takes care of itself. That's so liberating and freeing. And for this, that would be the gift that I would give myself as a younger person. It's just like, stop worrying so much about things you can't control, because you're not in control. And just try to find the joy in the process. And even in those valleys, there's joy in those valleys because there are opportunities to make you stronger, to help you with that climb.
Yeah. It's like what scripture says. It's like, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries or troubles for itself. And I know after you did I believe it was the Conquer 100, you talked a lot about how you experienced a lot of mental health, like a journey with mental health and different emotions there. And kind of talk us through, I think, especially in faith and in belief in God, a lot of people are afraid to talk about hard times and emotions that are real and believing in God, because we're taught to rejoice in the Lord always, which is true. But there's also times when you're going through things and you feel things that are hormonally like maladjusted or what have you. And talk to me about your kind of relationship with the Lord in that season and what that looked like. And reassurance for anyone listening right now that's like, yes, I believe in God, but I also feel sad right now, or concerned right now, or worried right now, or fearful because I can't put food on the table for my kids right now. Like, talk to us about kind of that relationship.
Yeah, I think pain and pleasure and happiness and sadness, they go hand in hand. And it says probably all over the scriptures that misery has been put on this earth so that we know what joy feels like. There has to be opposition in all things. And so it's super hard when you're in the moment. And that's why it's really important in the moments of despair to be able to pause and just reflect and actually just try to dissect what's really going on and what's really happening and what the real emotions are, instead of allowing it to have a spiral, because that's when it starts to get really ugly, is spiraling. And I think there's a ton of solace in knowing that even in my darkest hours, I have a companion, I have a friend. Because I think a lot of people of all ages feel alone and isolated, and we don't have to feel that way at any time. And I think that's where the gift lies, is recognizing that we're never alone. That doesn't mean it's easy, and you should always pause in your life and have that moments of self-reflection and thought. Burying emotions it just leads to illness and sickness. And so it's important when you're sad to feel sad, and it's okay. That's not a bad attribute. Feeling all ranges of emotion is the gift, because there would be no euphoria if there wasn't misery. Right. And that's why I do hard things every single day, so that I know what that feels like. And that makes the goods and the ups feel so much better, because I know what it feels like to be down and out. And I mean, for those people that don't know, we did a full distance triathlon, which is an Ironman, 2.4 miles swimming, 112 miles of biking, a full marathon run, 140.6 miles every single year. For the 50, we did 50 of those in 50 days through all 50 states. And the 100 was 100 consecutive. Well, on day 80, well, on day 59, really quick, I was in a really bad bike accident. I found out that I'd broken my back in that crash, And I ended up doing 41 Ironmans with a broken back. Well, day 80, I didn't think things could get any worse. And I was completely broken emotionally, physically, spiritually. And I just had this hyper focus on, I just have to show up today. And today I'm just going to try and give it everything I got. That doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect today. That just means I'm going to show up and I'm going to give it some effort. And our goal during that campaign was to raise money. The goal was $250,000 to free human beings that were being sex trafficked. And we were close to our goal around that day 80 mark. And I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can handle anymore. And I could have quit on that day and we would have been right at our goal. And it still would have been a world record. And we would have, you know, raised the amount. But I made a decision to keep going. And all I could focus on from that moment on, because everything was so heavy and so difficult, that I really was just going to show up and try. And looking back on it, we ended up from that moment to today, we've raised over $1 million. And that money has gone on to free human beings that are being sex trafficked and used in terrible ways in today's day and age. And so you always have to ask yourself the question, who am I missing an opportunity to bless their lives if I quit on my journey today? Because we truly have no idea who's watching and the ripple effect of our efforts. And even though you may not be performing at your highest effort, your greatest output, every moment of every single day, in my darkest of moments, I knew that I could just show up and try. And if I did that, that I wouldn't regret that decision. And it trust me, it took everything I had just to wake up, just to put my suit on, just to get in the freezing cold water, and just to do one stroke after the next. And eventually got easier, and I came out of that valley, and I started to climb the mountain again. But I'll ask the question again, and it's, who are you missing an opportunity to impact? Are you halting the legacy that you're trying to leave if you quit on yourself today? Because you're not just quitting on yourself, you're quitting on your family, your friends, and the thousands of people that you don't even know are watching you that are rooting for you.
That is so, people watch what you do, not what you say. I think about my parents talk about this a lot. Like, now that I'm at the age where they're kind of talking through what their parenting style was. And they always said, like, we wanted to be models for you guys, not martyrs. A lot of people are martyrs for their children. Like, they give it their entire, and I'm not, this is not a parenting podcast. I'm by no means old enough for that. But what I respected about my parents is they always modeled to us how to take care of your health, how to take care of your marriage, like the relationship. And that's what we learned from their example. And I think about kind of going back to what you said at almost the beginning of the podcast, which is just people being afraid to start. You mentioned in that journey, taking it almost like a day at a time, like just showing up each day. And I think some of the reason it's so hard for people just to start that thing, whether it's a relationship, a friendship, a new business, a job, running 1,000 miles a day, whatever you did, all this stuff, it's because, well, I guess that's my question for you is, do you think it's because people are afraid of starting small because we live in such a world that celebrates the big stuff, or they're afraid of being seen starting small by other people?
Neither. They're afraid of being judged for not being the expert on day one. Mm. And so they're... Yeah. Again, we live in that day and age of social media where everybody's the expert and everybody has an opinion and everybody's trying to voice that opinion. And this is going to be controversial, but nobody cares about you. And I don't mean that in a way that nobody cares about you. I mean that in a way that, like, nobody cares what shirt you're wearing today. Nobody cares if your hair's out of place. Nobody cares if it's not perfect. Like, trust me, everybody is so self-consumed about what they're doing. The most liberating thing you can do is to recognize that they don't care. It's you that are putting those self-imposed limitations and beliefs on yourself. Yeah. And like, I hear all the time people are like scared to go to the gym. guess what? Everybody in the gym is so worried about what everybody else is thinking. They're not looking at you. And so as soon as you recognize that, that like everybody is so on their own journey. And if you don't fit inside their story, they don't care about your story. And so at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. The most liberating thing that anybody that's listening can or should do is to not care what anybody else thinks and just do what fills your bucket that brings you joy. And it's okay. You're going to suck starting everything new. In fact, when I talk from stages around the world, I've spoken to 56 countries. I put up a picture early in my presentation, and it's a picture of me in the swimming pool in my very first ever race, gripping to the side of the pool, gasping for air. I've got a nose plug on, for crying out loud. And nobody would have looked at that person in that moment and said, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful that I had the courage to start and not care what anybody thought. I was learning how to swim in that moment. But nobody would have said, that's the guy that's going to go break multiple world records. That's the guy that's going to raise the ceiling so high that everybody will tell him that it's impossible to do until he does it. And that's the message that I want to get out to everybody that's listening, is to not care what anybody else thinks and to have the courage to look like an idiot when you first start something, on your way to being an expert, on your way to leaving that legacy.
Yeah. I love it. I have a little like poster thing in front of this area that says real, not perfect, because I do think everyone tries to be perfect. Everyone tries to be the expert. And I think the world's starving for real. And I was at Christmas talking to my nanny, who listens to this podcast, of course, because she's very supportive. And she was like, Annie, I love how you just ask the stupid questions. I ask the stupid questions. Maybe the questions that like are what everyone's thinking, but no one's everyone's afraid to ask. And I think that's the superpower. It's like not being afraid to look like an idiot, not being afraid to say, I have no idea what you just said. Can you please explain that to me? And I'm curious, James, because you are so impactful and you have spoken on stages all across the world and you're doing so much good. What is the line between not caring what anybody else thinks, but leading with a servant heart, leading with a heart that wants to impact others and wants to serve people? Like, how do you dance that line?
Yeah, it's hard, because the goal should be to be unapologetically, authentically you. And one of the greatest gifts that I get every time I speak is, oh, we're so thrilled that you weren't another corporate speaker, that you were so authentically you. And I've had a lot of people try to coach me and change my style and be more corporate and this and that. And I don't think it would have served me, and I would have been as successful as I am today in that space. And so I challenge people not to be like who they see online, because most of it's fake, and we don't need another me too. We need another you, authentically you, unapologetically, authentically you. And that's been the secret to my success. As I was doing all of these things, the number one thing I didn't do was listen to anybody else's opinion. I went to doctors and told them what I was going to do, and they said, we think you're going to die. And I completely said, well, you have no basis or reference on what this is that I'm doing. And so why should I listen to your opinion? And so if you're really going out there and carving a new path and being authentically you, nobody knows what that looks like and can possibly have an opinion on how you navigate you. And so it should be liberating to understand that concept and to just forge through and be who you are, because this world is lacking that uniqueness. If you look around social media, dude, everybody's the same. I can go to my kids' junior high school right now. Dude, every girl looks like a clone of each other. Every young man looks like a clone of each other. And I respect the kids that are like, nope, this is who I am unapologetically. And I love it. I'll tell you a funny story. I'll actually show you a picture too. We told my kids, we were like, hey, look, listen, we're doing family pictures. I've got five kids, ages 20, 21 down to 15. And I said, guys, look, you can wear anything you want to family pictures. Anything you want. We don't care. Wear anything you want.
Famous last words. Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. Is that a hot dog costume?
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so that picture is up in giant
form. Tell me that was the Christmas card photo.
No, we don't send out Christmas cards.
Okay. That'd be epic. Iconic.
It's on our wall above our fireplace mantle. Full blown.
Full blown.
And he absolutely loves it. He's just like, I don't care what you think. This is what I want to wear today.
And
it's so awesome. And I think that, you know, talking about parenting really quick.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest disservices that parents do to their kids is they try to mold them into who they think their kids should be instead of allowing them to be who they are. And we, you know, you talk about a unique parenting style. We don't have any rules.
No rules.
We have expectations that we lead by example, my wife and I, and we explain what the expectation is. And we're not the parents that do as I say, not as I do. We live what our expectations are.
Love that.
And then we also let them know that this is the consequence based on what you choose. If you want to go drink it, whatever, great. But there's going to be a consequence to that. Hey, mm-hmm. You don't want to come home at a certain time. That's your choice. But there's a consequence to that. And one of the hardest things to do as a parent is to uphold that consequence. Guess what I've never had to do one time? No, nothing.
I don't know.
I've never grounded a single child for a single day.
Wow.
I've upheld consequences, but I've never had to ground them. We lead by example. We set the expectation, and then they have their free will to choose which choice they want to do. And we're very open. We communicate. My oldest daughter is getting married this month. My youngest
congratulations.
Is.
Congratulations!
Thank That's you. Amazing. We're very excited. But I've never grounded one of my children.
Wow. It sounds like idolize like what you and your wife have done, but just like our relationship with God. You know what I mean? It's like it's the free will aspect. It's hey, I'm building this relationship with you. These are kind of the parameters, but it's like you have the free will and. And my love for you is set. I once heard somebody put, it's like God's love for you is set. Now, how he kind of like trusts you with different levels of responsibility, there's parameters there, right? So I love that. And when you were talking about your kids and the hot dog costume, which I just think is iconic, I'm thinking about children. You know, someone once said, it doesn't take crazy confidence to speak the truth and be different. It takes crazy humility. And with children, their kind of boldness to be different, I think, comes from that place of humility, not necessarily confidence. It's like they aren't at that age yet where they think everybody's looking at them necessarily. They're willing to step in. I think about myself, like I wore the craziest costumes elementary school, and it's because I didn't think anybody was really looking at me. I just thought I looked great and I wanted to look great for me. And nowadays, I think everyone's so paranoid. Because of social media, everyone's scrutinizing everything that they do. And so what I love about the picture you painted with children is just like, it takes crazy humility. And there is a power in stepping into that unique light, which is the point of this whole podcast, that God trusted you to shine in whatever capacity that is, your marketing job, your sales job, your college class, what have you. And James, I know we're coming up on time here, and this is a perfect segue to one of my last questions I always ask is, you know, you even said in one of the articles I was reading, kids are the best teachers. And so I was going to round this off by asking you, what would the kid version of James teach you right now? Or what piece of advice would he give current day James to be more mindful of?
Yeah, I mean, I was heavily criticized for being a dreamer. By teachers and whatnot, because I was so busy in my own head, like creating joyful experiences and who I wanted to be, what I wanted to do, ignoring the math teacher, staring out the window, dreaming. And, you know, we just kept being told like, this is how it is, and these are the parameters and fit inside this box and whatnot. And so, I mean, to me, that version of me is so freeing. And it's who I try to be now. Is I think dreaming is the greatest gift that we've been given. And as we start to grow up, for some reason, that piece gets stifled, and we're told not to do it. And as soon as we stop dreaming, we start to lose creativity, and we start to like conform to being me too's of everybody else, and we're doing our own things. And so what I learned from the coolest version of me is to show up every single day with hope and the ability to dream every single day.
I love that because I think so many people are walking through life asleep, and it's ironic because, you know, you dream, I guess, when you're asleep technically, but I feel like there's another level of dreaming, which is when you can dream when you're awake and you can actually like live your life in such a posture that you're excited for life. I think that's the ultimate expression of faith, is to show up every day and truly believe like the best is yet to come. And you are the God that can create all. And you are the God that is the God of all pivots and transitions and crazy Iron Man races, what have you. But the God that like carries you through all that. I think that's the best way to posture our hearts as we kind of take every day. So I love that.
Awesome.
Well, James, thank you for being on Made to Shine. This was such a delight. And I just feel like in all you do, whether it's with your wife or your kids or your races you're running or just speaking, writing, I mean, you're doing so much. And I just thank you for the light that you shine uniquely in all spaces and just your time today and pouring into the rest of us here that are coming up behind you in this next generation.
Awesome. Thanks, Annie, and everybody. Have an amazing 2024 whenever you're listening to this. Just forgive yourself for your past and show up every single day with an eye. Forward facing, and you can do and be whatever you want.
I love that. And James, last thing, where can people find you?
Yeah, anything that we're doing can be found through our website, ironcowboy.com. Please follow us on social media, Iron Cowboy James. Anything exciting we're doing, anything we're releasing, any crazy races that we're doing, it'll all show up on there. So thank you for the opportunity.
Amazing, James. Thank you so much. Everybody have a blessed day. Sending you love. Beautiful friend, I hope that this episode blessed you and brought a smile to your day. Hey, if we're not already hanging out on social media, go find me on Instagram. I'm typically living in my stories over there. Or join my weekly email fam. You can find the links for that on my Instagram as well. You guys, I hope you were reminded from this episode today that you are a light and you are called to go shine it in all spaces that you hold. And if you love this podcast, I would so appreciate if you shared it with anyone that came to your heart. And or a review would help me so much. Love you guys. Go shine your light. See you next week.